But I'm sure many of you have been to leadership seminars, right? Or you've had leadership training and you learned it in school, or their company had a, you know, a meeting or a seminar on it, right? How about this? Ever been to a followership seminar? Well, I know you, most of you out there are probably going, what the heck is that? Okay. Well, we're going to get into that in this episode. We're going to go to the inside edge of how we all need to learn to follow better.
That's a taste of followership. This week's episode of The Wise Guys, a podcast that unleashes the unthinkable in culture, religion, business, and everyday life. So it's time to step over the line, strap in, and let's see if you are willing to let Mac and the team take you to a place of thinking differently.
Welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast, where we unleash the unthinkable and step over the line to help us see things differently and usher in a new renaissance that's centered around creativity, spiritual depth, and a shift from the me to the we. Hi, I'm Mac, your host. And you may hear, if you haven't heard the previous episode, but this is a new identity and intro for us. We're the Wise Guys, and we've got quite a good history on that, but I think you're going to love what we're going to do with that. But I encourage you to listen to our Do You episode, where we'll talk more about it if that would interest you, and you can kind of hear somewhat of our journey on that whole thing. But tonight, what's this episode about? We're going to talk about, I made up this word, by the way, followership. Yeah, it's not in the dictionary, I promise, okay? But I'm sure many of you have been to leadership seminars, right? Or you've had leadership training and you learned it in school, or their company had a, you know, a meeting or a seminar on it, right? How about this? Ever been to a followership seminar? Well, I know you, most of you out there are probably going, what the heck is that? Okay. Well, we're going to get into that in this episode. We're going to go to the inside edge of how we all need to learn to follow better and how that impacts relationships, effectiveness, and spiritual growth. So there we are. What do you think, guys? Here we are on the edge. Got my gang, right? The Wise Guys.
We're here.
Lead on, Macbeth. I am ready to follow.
I will go where you lead me.
Got the Rev, got the Stu.
Coach Stu here. Yeah, I'm so thrilled to follow you in the greetings to everybody. Let me say hello to all of you beautiful exotic cocktails out there. So happy you're with us. Welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast.
I think
podcast.
I did see too, I forgot to tell you this, but I think I saw where we've got some listeners in Ghana.
Ooh, that's great. That's fantastic.
We didn't know about that.
Well, hello, Ghana.
Hello, Ghana.
Hey, gang. So welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to the Rogue Nation, as we like to think of you as. But we're going to, here's what we're going to do in this episode. We're going to start out and we're going to talk a little bit about how we follow things or movements or doctrines or whatever outside of us, out there, which obviously most of us, it's a very common thing, whether it's at work or whether it's a religious thing or whether it's a political thing, you know, whatever. We're following, you know, things that are outside of us. And we're going to chat a little bit about that and give some perspective on those things. And then we're going to shift in the second half and we're going to chat more about how do we follow ourself, if I can call it that, the inner workings that we have. And that's everything from our intuition to if we're religious or we're spiritual, maybe you want to call it the spirit, but following, learning how to follow better, number one, I believe, will make us better leaders for those of us that lead. And again, we'll flesh into that a little bit. So
servant leadership gets so much more done on the planet than just ego-driven, hey, I'm in charge, do what I tell you.
Right. I want to make this distinction right up front because we were just chatting about this. There's a thing that you obey you know, there are certain things, certainly kids understand this concept, right? But even when you go to work and your boss tells you something that you got to do, you got to obey him. You got, I mean, he or she, you have to pay attention and you got to do what they say, right? That's obedience. Now, that obedience can come with a following that you also follow what the, that company believes in or their mantra or their mission statement or whatever. Beautiful if they go together, but they don't always. And so I want to make that distinction that just because you obey somebody or a tenant or whatever it might be doesn't necessarily mean that you're following it, you know?
Well, and as a leader, if you're demanding that people obey you and just follow lockstep in line, your organization is not going to grow. Yeah. I've seen it. What are the most successful companies on the planet right now? The ones where the voices are heard of everybody in the organization, mm-hmm. from the bottom all the way up to the top. Right. You got to put your ears on when you're leading.
Well, leaders yeah. need followers to execute the mission, whatever that is, right? Right? They don't need obeyers.
Right.
They need followers.
Yeah. Well, leaders need followers more than followers,
Yeah, yeah.
Right. There's a good point. So, well, you know, so here's the thing. Do you ever think about your ability to follow? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. How well tuned in are you to others and yourself to be able to understand how to follow as well as how to lead? Again, if that's what you do. And that's what we want to kind of talk a little bit more about in this episode, make some distinctions, give you some tips and help to, and our own stories of our leadership and followership, you know, I think is going to be important in this one as well. So again, you know, when you follow, you can either follow the herd, you can just think like everybody else thinks, you can just move in the same direction that everybody else does, you're going to have the same biases that the herd does, you're going to basically surround yourself with the people that think the way you do, and you know what? That's really easy. I mean, that is just super.
Well, it's not thinking at all. You know, if you think like everybody else thinks, or what the leader says, you're not thinking at all. You've just dumbed it down to survive.
Yeah.
Well, and to be safe.
The herd mentality doesn't work because good followers, they take initiative. Like, they don't sit back and do nothing. I mean, being a follower doesn't mean that you just stand around and do nothing until the leader tells you what to do or the herd tells you what to do.
Right. Well, right?
Well, and if you've got that kind of environment, that's a sign of terrible leadership. Yeah. If your voice is not heard as a follower, then you've got a terrible leader. You've got a dictator, an ego-driven society. That's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, again, now talk about, well, so why does that matter? Then guess lots of other stuff gets stifled. Creativity, you know, entrepreneurship, if I can use a business term. If you want thinking outside the box. All of these kinds of, you know, initiatives, you know, all the stuff that business looks for. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, I think what ends up happening is even though you have a movement like that in the business world, or at least they say, gosh, we're into creativity. You know, we're into all of this, you know, expanding everything and all of that. How often do you hear that sort of thing when it comes to your when you belong to any kind of faith community? And I'm just putting it out there. I don't care what faith community we're talking about. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying is how often do faith communities ask you just to follow the herd?
I know too many people who have been asked to leave the herd because they just asked a question. You know, have you thought about it this way? Okay, you don't belong here. There's the back door for you. You know, so I think it's kind of inherent in faith, what it's become in our country, is just don't ask questions. So be a sheeple, if you will.
Right. Well, that brings up a concept. If you're going to be, you know, if you're going to follow things out there, and again, there's lots of things you can put into that, you know, creeds or doctrines or religion or even sports teams or, you know, school, you know, stuff that you do in school. It's so easy to just fall into that place of just conforming and compliance, you know, and it's comfortable, it's easy, but at the end of the day, nothing really ends up expanding. Nothing new happens. You know, you don't get creative. and it gets stifled.
I tell you, as a leader, if my organization or my church or my family or whatever it is depended solely on my intellect and my understanding, boy, that's a limited field. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask my kids, tell me what you think. I'm going to ask my partner, what do you think? I'm going to get the collective wisdom that is there that I'm never going to get if I just shut off my brain and said, no, it's my way or the highway. I think that there's a greater wisdom, and that can apply to microcosm. It's the macrocosm of the entire world. We belong to each other, and we need to work together as co-creators and partners, knowing that there's a greater wisdom, there's a greater love, there's a greater experience and possibility if we are on the team together and not just following somebody's limited vision.
That's a good point, Rev. You know, because yeah. I mean, really, because leaders have any good leader is going to admit that they have needs, they have weaknesses, right? They have shortcomings. They're not perfect. Right. And so a good leader needs loyal and dedicated followers kind of to fill those gaps. I mean, I know being a business owner, I always tell my team and anybody that's ever worked for me, I say the same thing. I say, look, guys, if I'm the smartest guy in the room, like we're in trouble. Like we need people better than me, yeah. You know, as your leader. I mean, that right. To me, that's a good leader. Like you surround yourself with people that can help elevate you. Yeah. And I think this is true in life. We don't have to just talk about this from the perspective of a business.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, no, you're right. You know, yeah. I mean, how do you elevate yourself? You surround yourself with people that can help you do that. We talked about our tribe of five, right? Right. Yeah. We talked about our tribe. I know the Rev loves this, the tribe of five. Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. So often, hubris kicks in, and amounts of success then fall to that leader that adopts an elevated attitude of themselves, right? And it's so easy. And what key component gets lost in this, I think, a key component, and that's this idea of this countenance of humility. You know, that great leaders, in my opinion, you know, have humble gratitude for how much there is to be known. Mm-hmm. Not that they already know it all.
It's an incredible paradox when you hear the term servant leader. It doesn't make sense to the human ego, but I love paradox. And I found this little poem that speaks to this. Strong enough to be weak, successful enough to fail, busy enough to make time, wise enough to say, I don't know, serious enough to laugh, rich enough to be poor, right enough to say, I'm wrong, compassionate enough to discipline, mature enough to be childlike. It's a great paradox. Yeah. A good leader has a multifaceted approach to their leadership. And I think some of them, you know, we say, oh, they're so ego-driven, they think they've got it all figured out. I think it's a great masquerade that they know they don't have it all figured out, and they're afraid somebody's going to see it.
Well, the emperor has no clothes at that point.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, my God, the king is naked.
Well, you know, from a personal standpoint, I can tell you a lot of my journey, and it's been a decently long journey. I won't go into the specifics on that. But I have to tell you that at 6 years old, I'm picking teams on the playground in elementary school. Mm. I mean, that's just me. It's always been me. I've always had that. I've always adopted that. I've always been.
You're the guy that picked me last every time.
Yeah, probably. Okay. I wanted to win, man. Okay, sorry. So I have this whole history of this is just ingrained in me. It's just who I am. And, you know, are leaders, you know, born or are they made and all this other kind of stuff. And I think it's a combination of both because, you know, if you're swimming against your natural current and you don't really go there much, I think it's a little harder. But that's all, you know, that's a little psychological or, you know, discussion. But my point is I definitely had times in my life where I don't play well in the sandbox, okay, because, you know, I'm used to doing it my way. And not that
– You did it your way.
Yeah, but you know why? The question comes in why.
Yeah, why?
It wasn't because I wanted to dominate people, and because I wanted to step over people, and it wasn't because of anything. But I got to a point, wrongly, I can step back now and say, in many times, not always, where I just truly believed that my way was better. Mm-hmm. You know, that really, guys, you're having an adventure and missing the point if you keep wanting to run all these squirrel and these rabbit trails. Listen to me. This is good. We need,
and your way might be the best way, yeah, right? But you're not going to know that until you open up the ideas and allow the followers to empower something different. Mm-hmm. You might learn that it is the right way. You might learn it's the wrong way, but you're going to learn, and everybody's going to be elevated in that process.
And I would agree with you. It was a lesson.
You'll have a stronger team in the sandbox, I'm telling you, if you let them figure it out for themselves.
Yeah. So here's a question for the both of you.
Yeah.
Do you think that all good leaders were once good followers?
I will say this, that I don't think all were necessarily, but I do think that your leadership can absolutely be enhanced when you know how to follow, because how do you instruct, encourage, mentor, and bring other followers along if you don't know how to be one as well?
Yeah. I just think I don't know if they were born that way, but somewhere along the line they got humbled and said, I got to look a different direction here. I mean, you know, I need to be a follower occasionally and put my ears on.
Right, right. And so for those of you that might be out there that, you know, you kind of live your life in this power position. This is who you are. You know, you're like the boss, or you're in charge of the team, or, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, when I went back to get my MBA, you know, when I started, after many, many, many years, started working again together in teams, right? Because, you know, it's a lot of, you know, collaboration in each class. It was a little hard for me at first, I have to admit, you know, when I had to get into this, and a lot of these people were a lot younger than me, almost all of them were a lot younger than me. And so, again, you sort of adopt this sort of attitude that says, guys, just listen up. I got this figured out already. Okay, really, I do. Okay, been there, done that. And sometimes that didn't go over so well.
Okay. You know, you talk about people being born leaders. Are there people born to be followers? Let me tell you, when I have a huge organization I'm leading, those followers are essential to the success. It does not happen by leaders. And I think there are people that naturally are supportive cheerleaders, that are natural, get their hands dirty, get into the dirt and make it happen for you, where that's a necessary component. Right. And I take it they're the most valuable players on my team. It's not the leaders on the team. It's the ones that said, let's get it done. Tell me what I need to do, and I'm going to make it happen for you.
Mm. For sure. Like I said earlier, good followers take initiative. I mean, they know what to do without being told.
Yeah.
Like, how fantastic is that when you're the leader?
Oh, God. Amen, right? Man. That's for sure.
And they do the right thing, typically.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I mean, it's really, I think you're right. I think some people are, but here's the thing. People that are born that way, they are learning leadership skills. Mm-hmm. And they could be good leaders, too. They may not want to be.
Right,
like, you may not want to be,
right,
all you out there that are in a follower mode. You know, and that's totally fine. You know, but you have the skills.
Well,
helps you to really support your,
absolutely,
whoever's your leader better, because you understand what's going on.
I always, right, go to the Bible. You got reluctant prophets. And some, mm-hmm, of my heroes, Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Mm-hmm. I'm not a leader. Don't ask me to do this. I can't step up. They found something in them to be the leader and to take it to the next level and the next step. I think it's both and. Leaders need to be humble to be better followers. Followers need to learn and get a little courageous and be better leaders. And it's, we're all working together to raise the vibration for everybody.
You know, Rev, whenever I read all those stories in the Bible, and I love them, I always feel like the person is always like, oh man, not me. Like,
exactly.
Why'd you point your finger at me? I don't want to. I'm not the guy.
That's been my life. I have been called into leadership role. I am the reluctant whatever you ask me to do. Yet God says, no, I'm going to kick you from behind, and we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And you learn leadership even though you're reluctant.
Well, and I think we've started to see over the last decade or so, maybe a little bit more, certainly in the corporate world, where you started to see this idea, this concept start to, you know, weave its way into corporate leadership. And that's the idea that, yeah, you know, I'm the CEO, or I'm the executive VP, or this is my, I'm charge of marketing, or but I need people that will collaborate with me. I don't need just give them a checklist and send them off, and then they come back to me, you know, and okay, I got that done. What's next now, chief? What's next, Bob Boss? I mean, it's a collaborative effort, even though there is somebody that's sort of, you know, leading the charge. Maybe they were just the ones to cast the vision. maybe they, you know, there's all kinds of things because you have leadership and then you also have managing, you know, and they can be different. They can also be found in the same individual, if you will. But many times you'll see that in just to, in order to get anything done, you can cast a vision, but you got to have good implementers.
Right. You know? I think you just inspired a meme coming from me. You ready for this?
All right.
So we're talking about like what makes a good follower. Is kind of what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
They compliment the leader. This isn't the meme yet. Right? But followers don't compete with the lead, with the leader. They complete the leader.
There you go. That's a good one. I like that. Kind of like the body, right? Mm-hmm. All the different parts of the body. There it is. I love that analogy. Yeah,
and I turn that circle around. Good leaders do not compete with the followers.
Yeah.
If I have to be elevated, if you have to be kept down and your ideas kept down for me to be the leader, that's an organization that's going to die pretty quickly.
Right.
So I look at, you know, at leaders who get these great awards. Mm-hmm. They're up on a platform and everyone's applauding and clapping. Woo, look what you did. The good leaders are the ones that say, let me tell you, the team that was behind me, let me name these 300 people. I'm here only because of these 300 people. Those are the leaders I'm going to follow, because a little bit of gratitude goes a long way.
Right. Oh,
that's the truth.
Said well. Yeah, that's awesome. So again, we're maybe we're convicting you a little bit. Maybe we're nudging you, nigging you a little out there. You know, especially if you're in that place.
I'm challenging all the reluctant leaders out there. I've been one of them, and here I am sitting behind a microphone. 20 years ago, hell no, that wasn't going to happen. Do it. I'm challenging to get up off the couch and just try something.
Right. Well, there you go. And maybe here's another little challenge that we'll just throw out there. And this idea, you might think you're following whatever it might be, okay? Common one in this part of the country and in this nation is, you know, do I follow Jesus, right? But really ask yourself the question, am I really following, or am I just sort of like affiliating? Do I just sort of have the bumper sticker? Do I just sort of just, I'm you know, I pay my dues and I know the secret handshake, but, you know, it's not, I don't have any skin in the game. I'm not really committed to whatever the cause is or whatever. I'm, you know, there's all kinds of different ways you can apply this. So again, it's a step back and look in the mirror that says, and if you're a leader, are you cultivating people to truly follow and engage and lean in, or are you just asking them to punch the time card? Okay, that's all you expect, and that's all they're going to give you. So, challenge. There's a challenge out there for that. So, with that, now we've talked a little bit about the out there. We're going to kind of flip it a little bit now. We're going to enhance it a little as we come back, and we're going to talk about the following inside. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear so far? Join us in the Rogue Nation by going to our website, www.gorogue.life, where you will find links to our social media and podcast channels, posts on the Seeing Differently blog, and a way to subscribe to all our happenings. We encourage you to become a member of our cafe, where you can interact with us and fellow Roguers and keep the conversation going. Please share us and like us. Now, let's get back to our wise guys.
All right, welcome back to the Wise Guys podcast, where we are talking in this episode about followership. Now, don't go to the dictionary and look that word up, because your spell check is going to want you to correct it. All right, it's not going to happen. It's a Mac word. Right, it's a Mac word, but hey, you know, we've talked in the first half of this episode about how we look at following things outside of us, and there's lots of things out there. All right, now we're going to sort of turn inward, and we're going to say, what are the things that we follow when it comes to the inside of us? You know, things like our intuition or our inspired guidance. Do we have those things? Do we follow them? Do we cultivate them?
We do have them.
We do. There is. There's the
answer.
We do have.
Yes is the answer.
Okay, he says yes. All right, I'm with you. I'm in.
Oh, yeah, they're always there, but are we listening to them?
There it is.
Right. Not so.
There, see, there becomes the disconnect, right? So as we follow these things, you have to say to yourself, well, what have I cultivated within myself that I'm following that matters, that makes a difference? Because you can cultivate all sorts of things that you follow, right? I mean, good and bad, right? So we can all recognize that. But I thought that this was an interesting little quote that really kind of came to that, that I thought was applicable here, that as we learn to follow those things inside that we're talking about now, we get inspired. We already used that word, intuition, and we have inspired guidance. Because here's a problem out there, for the most part, according to a guy named Mike Foster, and I would have to agree with him. I'll echo it. Our guardian angels are bored.
We're playing it safe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay? They're ho-humming it. They're like, I'm on a coffee break. Don't worry. If you need me, call me. Right? Okay. Probably nothing new happening today. Right? Why is that? Why? I think I did a meme that said, there's a common saying out there that says, I want to go to the safest place in God's will. You know, I want to be, and to me, that's the most dangerous place on the planet, quite frankly, because if you're right in the center of it, man, you are taking the tomatoes, you are having to put on the armor, as the Bible might say, but it's the most thrilling, exciting, scary, at times, place to be, is that thing where you're going, okay, man, I'm in, I'm strapping in, right?
The ref said, I mean, most people are playing it safe. They're not taking any chances. They're too afraid to do so.
Right. Right. Well, and here's the next question to ask on that, if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is that we have cultivated such a culture, for the most part, that plays it safe?
I stepped out of the line and I got hurt. I stepped out of the box and I got slammed down. And it's competitive. We're in a competitive environment. So, you know, followership is absolutely encouraged. Just walk lockstep. Yeah. And we get hurt, and I don't want to get hurt again.
Yeah,
I'm afraid of getting slammed again, so I'm just going to stay right here in my box.
Yep.
I also think because we have forgotten that God is with us all the time. When we forget this, fears come up. And so it's hard to take chances.
Yeah.
God will always catch you. I always visualize walking through a dark room and just continuing to walk forward, because I know God's not going to let me walk off the edge of something.
Right.
You know, he's going to be there with me. And if I do, you know, he's going to catch me and I'm going to fly or whatever's going to happen, bounce off of something fun.
Yeah.
You know, so I think people forget. Mm-hmm. That they're not alone in this, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like to me. Like, you're not alone out right. there, people. You well, are not.
You know, not only is God with us, but God's for us. And we've talked about this before in other episodes. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's a huge shift, I think, for a lot of people. So now you can learn to trust in a totally different way if you really believe and think that God, the universe, the goodness that's out there, is for you.
I'm going to take it a step further. So we got, God's with us, God's for us. I'm going to say God is us.
Yeah,
God is expressing at the point of us. That's how powerful we are.
Yeah.
And we've put our fear, this is the great fall from the Garden of Eden. It's the fall from grace. We believe there was God in anything else.
Mm-hmm.
When I know and I'm emphatic about the truth that I am grounded as the presence of God, the vibrating center of God, there is nothing I cannot do. And that's the only way I've stepped into any kind of leadership. I can't do this, but God doing business as me can.
Yeah. Well, there's taking advantage, not using, taking advantage of the gift that's opened freely that says, I will animate and direct this story if you would let me. Okay. Mm-hmm. If I would just open up my consciousness. Right.
What did Carrie Underwood say?
Yeah.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah.
Is that how that song goes?
Yeah. And turn the lights on and we're all good, man. There's a beaming.
Well, and Jesus said back, Carrie, you've got the wheel and you're going to be okay because I'm right there with
That's
you.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, it's this whole
student driver in the back window.
Right. It's, yeah.
Have patience. Right. Yeah. But, you know, what do we follow? We follow, you know, our intuition, our inspired guidance, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But here's the point. You have to cultivate those things. They don't just appear normally, all right? They're there. They're part of you. They're who you are. But again, are you pushing it down? Have you forgotten? What? And we've danced around it, but you know, let's just call it what it is, the spirit or the mystery. Do we really follow the mystery in life, the mystery in the cosmos? Again, call it spirit, call it, you know, again, I don't know, I will label it, but the point is, it's something bigger than you, outside of you, and something that you can't necessarily touch and feel, and is, you know, is a thing, right? It's there. And we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, right? That it's an integral part of life, this, you know, spiritual growth. We talk about that in the Renaissance. What does that mean? Okay. Well, the first word kind of speaks to it to start with. Spiritual, right? So we have to press into the mystery. We have to be okay with the ambiguity. You were talking about that already, Rev. You were talking about those ideas that just say, I haven't got it all figured out, and I probably never will. And if I think I have, it's less than what it could be.
Those are the best leaders that'll humble themselves to go, I really don't know, but we're going to figure this out together. And okay, that we is where God happens.
Yes.
Enough people being humble and open and receptive and vulnerable to each other that suddenly God emerges. That's the best part of community.
Well, again, yeah, I think that's, you know, and I don't care. I really ought to say I don't know everything about every religion out there. All right. But much of what I do know centers around that synergistic idea of a collective in some sort of fashion. I mean, again, it all takes a different flavor.
One of the most beautiful things that happened just yesterday, we had an eclipse and the world stopped. The world stopped and we were all looking in the same direction at the same time. People were crying, people were laughing, people were hugging. And I go, that's what I want. That's what I'm hungry for. As a leader, I can make that happen by allowing myself to be a follower and a leader all at the same time and get people to just embrace each other and put the right glasses on. Don't look at the sun and burn your eyeballs out. But the reality is there's something beautiful waiting, just waiting for us to find it. And it takes us being leaders and followers all together in the same soup in order to get there. And I have hope that we're going to make it.
I do.
For sure.
Yeah.
That was amazing because for a moment we were all living life together.
Yeah.
Right.
And gazing at the same thing.
And helping each other out and just wanting to be in each other's lives for a moment.
Yeah.
I mean, how amazing would it be if that was all the time?
And it was a mystery. 99.9% of the people watching that had no idea what was going on with the sun and the moon and the earth, but it was like, this is beautiful. And that's the mystery. The mystery is a beautiful place.
Well, you can take that mystery, that idea. We were talking about this yesterday, you know, before the eclipse, and that's the idea that think about how the ancients looked at that, you know, event, that phenomena. Before, you know, the common reason came in and telescopes and all of this other kind of stuff. Now, you know, and you had to go pretty far back because, you know, you had the Egyptians, you had a lot of stuff that was already starting to get figured out. All right. But, it, you know, when you gaze up into that and you see that happen without a bunch of science to be able to apply to it, you know, the little diagram with the thing going around the earth and then the little, you know, you made in elementary school, right? Well, they absolutely contributed toward the mystery, you know. I mean, it was totally beyond what they could understand or even comprehend, and so it had to be bigger than themselves. And they were willing
all knowledge had its inception in leaning into the mystery.
Yes,
I've got to lean into the unknown, own that I don't know, and then poof, an idea. That's God.
Yeah,
a new idea, a new paradigm, a new whatever it was. Oh, I could have had a V8. This is God just showed up because I was willing to be vulnerable and go, I don't know.
I could have had a V8. That kind of ages him a little bit. Okay, yeah, I totally get that. All right, yeah, man. I mean, come on, guys. You know, come to the party here. Let's just be honest with ourselves and just admit when we're asleep, how we've been asleep. And we talked about putting on the right kind of glasses, right, to watch the eclipse. Well, we have to be really careful about donning the rose-colored glasses. We do it all the time because we want things to fit our bias.
Or the glasses that the leader told us we had to wear. You go. Oh, right. These are the glasses. You can't wear another pair of glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a quote here that I just hope we get to. I love this
Let's
quote.
Get to it.
I don't know who said it. Before you can be called, you need to be on call. I need to be attuned with the antenna, the ear, the eyes, the heart, and the soul to go, what's next, God?
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm open. I'm receptive and willing. Who said that?
That's Lenny
Sweet.
That's
Leonard Sweet.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's a sweet one.
So, you know, what are we following? We're following whatever expands our possibilities, our calling in this sense. What are we called to? But as Rev said, you have to be paying attention. You got to get your, you know, you got to get your antennas up. You got to answer the phone, right? I mean, you have to be available and ready and in the mode, or what? Guess what happens? It just all passes.
Can you imagine back when Jesus was walking the earth, right? And he walked up to you, and if you weren't paying attention, and he said, "Hey, follow me," you're like, "All right, yeah, where are we going? Like, are we going down there? But down by the river? Okay, I'll come over there."
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but that's not what he was saying.
No.
So, I mean, you know, you have to really be on call, as Lenny Sweet says, right? Like, you got to be paying attention. And
he who has ears to hear and eyes to see, he called it out. He put the hooks out there, but they weren't blatant, obvious hooks. It's like, here's a little bit of wisdom that's going to change the consciousness. And those that could catch it, who had their ears ready and the antenna out, caught it.
Yeah.
And they got on board and they became followers. They were apostles and then disciples all at the same time. They were teacher and student. And, you know, in scripture, you have apostle and disciple interchangeable there. Mm-hmm. It's because at any given moment, one of them was the leader. One of them was taking the teachings of Jesus and carrying it further.
Well, yeah, and part of being on call, all right, is that you have to be in this place that is receptive, and you have to then be willing to say, okay. I mean, it's all well and good to say you're on call, but if you get the call, how do you respond? Right? You know, are you willing? Because, you know, let me just say this. If you aren't willing to strap in, because here's what the disciples really never knew for the most part. They never really knew what was next. Okay? They just, they didn't. And they would ask, and they would try to get it figured out, and they would try to get it on their day timer, and they would try to, you know, okay, here's our agenda for today. Guess what Jesus's agenda was? Encounter. He was just all about encounter, wherever that took that little band of merry men and women, right? So you have to also not be worried about all the whys and the wheres and the whats. You just have to go out there and say, if I try to codify all this, if I try to write it down, if I try to make it all neat and tucked in, then it's not going to be mysterious. It's not going to be driven by the Spirit. It's not going to be wild, crazy, strap-in stuff. It's going to be controllable, and it's going to be dull.
That's why Jesus got out of the way. They weren't getting it. Let me just follow you, lockstep. You tell me what you want. I'm going to leave. I'm going to take off now. And then the day of Pentecost comes. Then they got it because the Holy Spirit. They were now attuned to. Okay, he told us the Spirit's going to come. They were attuned. They were looking for it. They were a receptive environment, and suddenly they became the leaders.
Yeah.
So he had to get out of the way for them to become the leaders.
Absolutely, he had to go. That's for sure. You know, that's part of the story.
You know, we're tiptoeing, not really tiptoeing, but we're kind of talking around the word trust. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what this is really all about.
Exactly.
I mean, if you just trust, and so many people are, especially today, so many people out there are just not trusting. And we've been trained to be not trusting, right? And here's my philosophy on that and why I would have been like, you know, if Jesus had come up to me and said, "Hey, follow me." I'm like, "All right, man, let's go." Like, where are we going? I don't even care where we're going. Let's just go. You know, that would have been me. I'd have been off and running. I'm like, what are we doing again?
That's kind of like people, what Larry's done with us. It's like, where are we going, Larry? Just tell us.
And people would ask me, here's how, this is for real how it would be. People would say, hey, what are you doing? I'm going to go follow that guy. Like, why? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it just feels like it's the thing I should be doing. It's the right thing
to do. If you've cultivated that attunement, you're going
to
know.
So here's the question, right, for all of you out there that don't know when to trust a situation, a person, or whatever, right? How do you know when to trust someone?
I already have the cue card.
There, you already know this one, right?
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah. I already know it. You know,
you just trust them.
You just do it. Yeah,
you do it. I mean, if how was she going to know, right? I mean, why not just give it a shot? Oh, it's the worst that can happen.
Well, you know, and again, you know, Coach Stu, he like, everybody loves Stu. They really do. Okay, I do. All right. For me, I'm a little more guarded than that. I got to see a little bit of trustworthiness before I'm willing to let the trust out there. But I,
you got to give him a chance.
I know, that's me. I know, I kind of hunker down a little bit. But you know, you need to trust your own beat, your true way. You know, the thing that's you. And here's, I remember what Andy Stanley, pastor here in Atlanta. For those of you who listen in Atlanta, you probably have heard of him. Years and years ago. You know, we loved it. What's my own way? What's my own beat? I need to know. I'm going to go to this seminar. I'm going to go to a coach, and they're going to give me this piece of paper, and I'm going to write it down so that this is my mantra, and this is my personal mission statement, and all that kind of stuff. Now you have what? Certainty? No. Mm-hmm. No way. You think you do. That's what you think you're striving for. But instead of certainty, which is a fleeting thing, go for clarity. Go for the best clarity in the moment that you can, given your intuition, given everything that you've cultivated to that point. And then Stu already said it. You trust.
You got to ultimately trust yourself.
That's right.
You know, the end of the day, that guy can say, come over here. But you've got to trust yourself that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that inner guidance system is going to not lead you astray.
Absolutely. And you got to keep working on it. I mean, this isn't some place where you ever like arrive. You know, the minute you think you've arrived, it's like, oh, I got God figured out, you know, then again, it's going to be something short of what it could be. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but I'm just saying don't hunker down and camp out and check out. You know, that's the tough thing right there. That's the kiss of death, in my opinion. Because again, what are we talking about in one of the episodes about the tomato? Right,
mm-hmm. It's
either ripening or what?
Ripening or dying,
it's
rotting. Or something,
it's
or rotting.
You're dying.
Ripening or rotting, yeah.
Exactly.
And that doesn't mean don't take a moment, take a breath.
Right.
Sabbath is really important. Sure. Moment to moment. Okay, here I am. I'm in a new place
Good
now.
Good point.
Okay, yeah. Just don't put up the tent.
Right.
Well, I'll go back to what we were talking about earlier. There are some words we were using, spirit, intuition, things like that, right? Those are feelings. They can be feelings, right? And you ever say these words like, it just didn't feel right, or it feels right. Like, right, that's what all that is. That could be the spirit or your intuition, like, don't go that way, or yes, go that way. You know, because we could be directed away from danger.
Right.
If we pay attention.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, how many stories are there out there where, you know, I had to go back in the house to grab something.
5 seconds.
And then I missed the accident that was, you know, in front of me there.
I agree.
Because I had to go back in the house. Like, what caused all that to happen? I mean, I think that's the spirit helping us.
Totally.
Helping us. If you're paying attention and looking for it, you're going to
Well, get and it's going to require us cultivating that back to that equation of, is fear driving or is God driving? Mm-hmm. I'll know the difference when it hits. It's like, this feels like an idea, a God thought, a God guidance, not my fear. Because a lot of people will mistake the voice of God for their fear, and they miss a lot of opportunities. They don't want to risk.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about, again, the coin thing. We talked about in the last episode of the Tribe of Five. There's great value as well as bouncing stuff off other people.
Oh, you know, for sure.
That you can trust.
For sure.
So,
well, there's a Tribe of Five on the outside, but there's a Tribe of Five on the inside, too.
Yeah,
that's I a got a lot of voices in me that I know are the voice of God, and at any given moment, there's still those 5-10 voices. I sound a little schizophrenic, I know. But the reality is I spend time with that tribe inside
so
I know which voice it is. And one of the tribe is not of the five, they're outside the circle, is that one of fear.
Yeah.
And I can sense it. My body knows when it's the fear voice.
Well, that's a great point. Well, I love that.
That's
a
great
analogy.
Point. Yeah.
That's really great. That's very cool. So there you have it, gang, for the most part. You know, we're trying to figure out how to be followers better because it changes lots of other things that have to do with our life if we will get a handle on that, right?
I'm going to just put something. I know we're out of time here, but as a follower, people are watching you. Mm-hmm. You cannot be a follower, and they're watching the way you're offering engagement and respect and trust to somebody who you're following. People are watching you. You're actually a leader in doing that. They're yeah. watching your behavior. Yeah. You're leading without even knowing you're doing it.
Wow. Well, these are not mutually exclusive, right? You're not either a leader or a follower.
You've got to be both.
I think we've talked about that. So awesome stuff today, guys. So here's we're going to end as we're going to try to start doing more regularly just to remind you, right? Just to remind you as we go rogue. That's always part of our core mantra as well as the wise guys, right? We're going to step over the line. So your ongoing mission, should you choose to accept it, here it is. Doom, doom, you're going to be a roguer?
Doom, doom, doom,
yep. Doom, doom, doom. Yeah. Insert Mission Impossible music.
A, decide to step over the line. Man, you got to be bold. You got to be mavericky. You're going to be able to move outside that comfort zone. And once you start to do that, I guarantee you, if you look for them, you're going to find like-minded, wise people. You'll find them.
They're looking for you.
That's right. They're there. You will attract them, or you will be attracted to them, if that's the situation. Find like-minded, wise people. Then you need to strap on the armor, you know, figuratively, of a firm commitment. You're committed, man. You're in. You're leaning in, and you're willing to take. You're willing to take the tomatoes. You're willing to take the darts or whatever it is that's coming your way because you girded yourself properly with a lot of this stuff that we've been talking about tonight. Fourth thing, storm the gates of convention. It can't be the same old, same old. Some of that stuff's good. We get that. You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But you got to be willing to storm those gates of convention and say, I don't care if we've always done it that way. Right? And lastly, now we've stormed the gates, we're going to free others from their limited thinking to the best of our ability by giving them an example, giving them encouragement, giving them love. Okay? Taking them on the journey with us.
I think just by being who we are.
There you are. Yeah. And engaging.
Challenging people to go ahead, try it on. Follow me, follow me, follow me.
You want some of that? Come on, let's go. Come on. So there you have it, gang. Thanks, Rogers. We've enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Share us. Give us a 5-star, please. It helps us grow our podcast and get our message out there. We hope this is of value. Hey, gang. Hey, wise guys. Good stuff tonight, man.
Good stuff.
Fun. Yeah. Thank you.
Love it.
I like it.
Love it. So thanks again, gang. And we'll catch you on the flip side. Take care.
Wow. You made it and can now unbuckle. Thanks for listening to Followership, where we explored how the practice of following is just as important as the application of leadership. Remember to visit the website at www.gorogue.life for lots of follow-up information, see the show notes for any links to episode content, and join us in the ongoing cafe conversation where every week we post some thought-provoking questions for your own roguish conversations. Oh, and of course, tell everyone you know about us and like, follow, and engage. Be sure to tune in next week when Mac unleashes another unthinkable conversation. That is, if you dare.